So yesterday evening, we discussed about the definition of bhakti, uttama bhakti. And while discussing about definition of uttama bhakti, we discussed the swarup lakshan and tatastha lakshanas. Now, swarup lakshanas and tatastha lakshanas, krishnanushiranam, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shiranam is the Swarupa Lakshana of Bhakti, and Anyabhilashta Shunyam Jnana Karma Janavritam, these two are the Tatastha Lakshanas of Bhakti. Now the purpose of Tatastha Lakshana is to qualify the greatness of Uttamata of the Bhakti, and we discussed that how Anya Abhilashita Shunyam refers to, it is not Abhilasha Shunyam, Anya. Why? Because one desire can be there, that is what? To please Krishna. And we discussed about the word Ita, that shows that how certain desires, which are natural and circumstantial, can be there, and then still be qualified to be a devotional, pure devotional service, that can be qualified as Uttama Bhakti. Jnana Karma Janavritam. We discussed about jnana, what is the meaning of jnana. Jnana refers to impersonal and knowledge, and the Jiveshwaravada, considering the knowledge which says that about the Jiva and the Supreme Lord are one and the same, that has to be rejected. And devotional jnana, that jnana which doesn't cover bhakti, rather encourages bhakti, that should be accepted. And karma which covers bhakti, that should be rejected. Whereas karma, which is not an obstruction for bhakti, can be accepted. These points we discussed in definition. After discussing about the definition of bhakti, then we spoke about how this devotional service, which is there. Two examples are given about devotional service from two scriptures. That is Pancharatra and Bhagavatam. Pancharatra talks about the famous verse, Rishika Ena, Rishika Isha Sevanam. Rishika Ena means, Rishika means senses, with these senses, Ena, with these Rishikas, with our senses. Rishika Esha Sevanam Bhakti Rachate. How these four components of Anyabhilashita, Shunyam, Jnanakarmadyanavritam, Anukulyena, Krishnanushilanam, these four aspects are there in this verse. And also, that famous verse in the Kapil Devuti Samvad, which talks about how ahetuki avyahita avyahita ya bhaktir purushottame salokya srashti samipya sarupya mekattvam yuta dhiyamanam grandanti vinamat sevanam jana seva bhakti yogakya atyantika udahrutah. So this verse also talks about pure devotional service or uttama bhakti. And we also compared that how these are certain points which are mentioned, the four points are also found in this verse. And after that, we talked about bhakti has been defined. Now, the bhakter vishuddhata vyaktya lakshane pravartyasti. Now, to bhakter vishuddhyartha. The greatness, the speciality, to bring out the speciality and the greatness of this Uttama Bhakti. Now the lakshanas are spoken. The characteristics of bhakti are spoken. What are they? The 16 number, you all know very well. Klesha Agni Shubhda Moksha Lagutakrit Sudurlabhas Sandarananda Visheshatma Sri Krishna Karshani Sa Cha Sa. So out of these things, the first one is spoken, Klesha Agni. Klesha Agni, Klesha means miseries. So the Agni, the tapa caused by the miseries. How the miseries are immediately destroyed by accepting Krishna Bhakti or Uttama Bhakti. That is the subject matter now. While discussing about that, we saw that how these kleshas or miseries are caused by sin. Isn't it? The sin is because of desire. And that desire is because of ignorance, isn't it? So now, if you want to get rid of sin, if you get rid of suffering, we need to see how to get rid of ignorance, get rid of desires, get rid of sinful tendencies, isn't it? Sinful actions. Now, so there's a whole thing spoken. How this sin gives rise to, sinful acting gives rise to two things. One is prarabdha, other is aprarabdha. Now, aprarabdha haratvam. The first point which is spoken is aprarabdha haratvam. The 20th verse talks about how aprarabdhas are destroyed. Now, when somebody comes into sinful activity, as you know very well, immediately there is suffering, that is known as prarabdha. The impetus for the future suffering, that is known as aprarabdha. Now, how that aprarabdha is destroyed, that is a very famous example is given, verse from the Bhagavatam, which talks about how a blazing fire burns to ashes the fuel of sinful activity supplied to it. So, aprarabdha is something like a fuel for the further sinful activities. But when you do the activities for Krishna, when you are doing pure uttama bhakti, these activities, what happens? They destroy the aprarabdha as much as the fuel is burnt. Once the fuel is burnt, there is no question of further further burning, isn't it? Gone. Once the fuel is burnt, gone. So, it's a very interesting point. Whatever suffering, what we are experiencing while performance of devotional service, that is good. That is why Kundivani says, let more miseries come. Why? Why? She remembers Krishna. The remembrance of Krishna cannot come in a sinful mind. Isn't it? Isn't it? So that's one of the understandings you can have. Of course, when she is speaking in the platform of raga. But when the miseries are coming in the while performance of devotional service, you don't be much worried about it. You should understand these are actually burning off all my aprarabdha karmas. And of course, anyhow, prarabdhas have to be experienced. So they will be experienced as we progress in devotional service. So, this is discussed yesterday. Then, prarabdha haratvam. It was a very long topic and very controversial topic too. Very difficult topic too. How does prarabdhas are destroyed by performance of uttama bhakti? So, regarding that, you have 21, 22 and 23 verses talking about prarabdha haratvam, how prarabdha are destroyed. Very famous verse from Bhagavatam, third canto, same Kapil Devuti Samvad, because Kapil Devuti Samvad, it talks about practically everything about uttama bhakti. If you see the third canto, uttama bhakti is spoken in Kapil Devuti Samvad, and also mixed devotional service, that is also spoken. Everything regarding devotion, whatever you want to know, everything is there in Kapil Devuti Samvad. Sankhya, devotional Sankhya, anything. Whatever is required to be known, is everything is there in Kapil Devuti Samvad. So, there in that again comes a very famous verse. Yannamadeya shravanan kirtanad yat pravaranad yat samsparanad api kvachet swadyobhi sadhya savanaya kalpate uta punastu bhagavannu darshanam. So, uta punaste bhagavannu darshanat. You want to speak of others. Person who see the Supreme Lord face to face, even a swapacha. One who is born in a low class family. So, there is a long discussion about who is a swapacha. Who is a person who is called a dog eater. Is the one who ate a dog? No, here it is specifically meant for birth. A person who has taken birth in a dog eater family. Maybe in their previous lives, in previous generations, they had eaten a dog. Who knows? We don't know about it. So, born in a lower class family, what happens when he chants the name of the Lord, what happens? Yennamadeya Sarvananu Kirtana. Namadeya, he thinks about the Lord. Shravana Kirtan, he does. What happens? Yat Pravarnat, Yat Samsparanat, Api Kvachit. Even though he does it, even though such a person does it, what happens? Sadhya Savanaya Kalpate. What is it mean? Sadhya Savanaya Kalpate? Very quickly, he attains the qualification of performing sacrifice. Performing sacrifice. No, so there's a big argument and debate on this by Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishnanjoga Thakur in their commentaries on this particular verse. So Jiva Goswami has clearly told that he attains a qualification. How? Because his qualification of performing a sacrifice is that he, by chanting the names of the Lord, by performance of Uttama Bhakti, the sin which was a disqualification for him, that is destroyed, removed. And the piety which is required for performing a sacrifice, that increased. Now, as soon as he starts chanting any prasama uttama bhakti, is it that this person born in low class family can do sacrifice? Can start doing the sacrifice? He needs initiation. Now, why? Even a person who is born in a Brahmin family, he requires initiation. Now, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur, he mentions an important point. He says that this person who is born in a Swapacha family, by becoming devotee, his disqualification of performing sacrifice is there, is lost, immediately becomes qualified to perform a sacrifice. That means he will get the respect. Not that he starts immediately doing the sacrifice. For that, he need to wait for the next birth to come. Of course, this has been interpreted in different ways, but we'll just have this point in our mind. Even though a person has become qualified to do the sacrifice, he has to get an initiation. So since he has to get an initiation, he has to wait for another birth. Now, what is this another birth? Some people are talking about, no, he can get it initiation now itself and he can start doing the Vedic sacrifices and all. Some people say, no, he has to wait for the next birth. So, next birth means next physical birth, that he has to go and take birth in the womb of a Brahmin family. So, this is quite debatable and we don't want to dwell into troubled waters. that's what I'm not getting into. So, we have some people saying, no, next birth, Vishwanatha Thakur talks about not next birth as it means to be the next birth. It is second birth, means initiation. Samanvaya, which has been done by me myself by asking different devotees who are very senior in Sri Vaishnava and Madhva Sampradaya, is that they are allowed to do pancharatrik activities, not the Vedic. Because as soon as you say Vedic activities, the qualification technically is birth. Technically is birth. To do any Vedic activity, like you want to do somebody's marriage, okay? A Brahmin does the marriage, conducts the marriage ceremony. So for that, the qualification is not just you chant the names and you get a Brahmin and you start doing that. The qualification is that you have to be born in that particular family. But for as Vedic pancharatrik thing is concerned, because that is a transcendental thing, so the transcendental qualification applies there. Performing a marriage ceremony is a material activity. So what is the consideration for that? Birth. That is material. But going inside and then doing deity worship, that is transcendental. What is the qualification for that? Transcendental. So in this way, you can have a very clear idea that a person born in a lower family, by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he can get a Brahmin initiation exclusively for what? Pancharatri, not for Vedic rites. Of course, still people are debating. We don't want to. Otherwise, they say, hey, why are you speaking like that? Somebody in a, born in a foreign country, they also start conducting marriage and all, isn't it? But technically speaking, they are not allowed. It's kind of, it's happening, but no other alternative. That is what's happening, maybe, I don't know. But we don't want to get into complicated. We don't want to complicate and get into controversial topic. But technically speaking, for material activities, qualification is material. For spiritual activities, qualification is spiritual. So the Brahman initiation, what we get, what you get, when is a Pancharatrik Diksha. It is not a Vedic Diksha. What mantras you get is all Pancharatrik mantras. It is not Vedic mantras. So you are allowed to do only Pancharatrik things, not the Vedic things. Don't think that now I got a Brahmin initiation, so now I become a Brahmin, so I can go and do Gadika Puja, I can go and go somebody's house and do their sanskars, Gaha Pravesha and all these things. No. It's like an engineer, you know, doing some operation or something like that. It's not, you're not qualified for that. Yes. Yeah, that is not there. Then they will get the karma for it. Because born in a Brahmin family, and if they are not practicing the Brahminical principles, they will get karma for it. See, why Brahmin can do these pujas? I asked a pakka, karmakandi person, why only Brahmin? He told that you are actually, when you are doing a sacrifice, like sanskars, you are taking their karma, actually. It's a very, very, he says, it's most difficult thing. People cannot perceive that. So to digest that, you need to have that Brahminical strength. Otherwise, it is very difficult. It says people sarsik and so many horrible things will happen. So getting a sanskar made, it is not a, we see, you know, just coming and chanting and going away. It is not. You are actually dealing with their material energy, material thing. And to be unaffected by that, you need to be in that position. And you need to do that kind of sadhana. So if he is not doing, then he will be affected. That's true. Isn't it? It is actually rajas. To control rajas, you need to have sattva. Actually, those who are pakka Brahmins, who are into this, doing different kinds of sanskars and different kinds of yajnas and all, they do sadhana. Not the sadhana what we are doing. The bijaksharas which are given to them. He said bijaksharas all rajas. Vedic mantras, which are actually bijaksharas, which are used for invoking different demigods, and now it is all passion. It is all rajas. And to maintain that rajas, that much goodness should be there. So that is it. So ultimately, aprarabdha, prarabdha haratvam, it shows that the disrespect given to a person who is born in low-class family will not be given to a person who is taken up uttama bhakti. And it has seen in our Vedic system also. Haridas Thakur, Yavana family, he was respected by everyone. Everyone, even Ramanandra respected, Patnaik respected, Gopinath Patnaik respected, all grand Brahmin, Kshatriya families, they all respected. Savanabhattacharya respected, isn't it? Advaitacharya, everybody respected. But he, the custom of not entering the temple, he followed it. Don't you think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have not taken him inside? Anybody would stop him? No, nobody would stop. Haridas Thakur, okay, out of humility, he did not go. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not take him inside? Because that is the rule which is followed there. Isn't it? So that is why one has to be very careful in understanding this simple conflict. Because there was one devotee who came to me, Roji, can you give me a Brahman Diksha letter? Then I told, there are some rules and regulations for that you have to. Then I just asked him, why you want to take? And he told Prabhuji, it's like, I'm doing some job outside. I just get so much less money. I thought if I get Brahman Diksha and learn some puja, and I can do some havan and all these things. I can get people married because a lot of demand is there. So in America also a lot of demand is there. Like, so I told the Brahmin Diksha which is being given to you, it is not the Brahmin Diksha which is used for these things. It is for you to worship the deity. It's a license for you to worship the deity. That is why, you know, temple we have made a rule. Only those who are wanting and giving commitment to serve the deity, they only get Brahmin Diksha. Not otherwise. Not otherwise. Otherwise, it is something so great, so high. Kama Gayatri, you know, it's such a big thing, such a high thing. And that you use to get somebody married. So that's not the real thing. Yes?
Like, if devotees are not doing that, then they go for outsiders and they come and do.
That so doesn't mean you do this thing. Okay, outsider, what does it mean? It's like, for example, you got some electrical problem. No devotee can do that. So what do? You call electrician, isn't it? It is material. Getting married is material. Graha pravesha is material. But the society has put them so high in esteem. So why are you getting into the same category and put them into so esteem? It is true. We need to have those devotees, those people who are born in Brahmin families, and they become devotees. They may get this panchara. And if they do, well and good. But we are not so established. We are just 40-year-old, isn't it? If you see Madhva Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, 800,000-year-old. So already that kind of thing they have developed in the society. So we don't have, there is no emergency regarding that. The emergency is to make devotees. The emergency is not to get people married. Isn't it? So no, if you don't, if the devotees don't do, they'll go somewhere, let them go. What is the problem? what is the problem? Anyhow, they chant mantras better than many of our devotees. Isn't it? Isn't it? They chant better. And they are expert in doing things. And we have to search out, when sacrifice happens, no? I have seen both the sacrifices in traditional way they do. When they come and do, they are pakka professional net. They don't make you run. But when some sacrifice, some yajna happens here, some place, what they do? Elikyao, you know, you'll be running around. So what are you doing? How many of them chant Purush Sukta properly? So let them go. What is the problem? There's nothing wrong in that. If of course, the best thing is that you have those two Brahmin families and doing them. The best is that you have devotees cleaning the temple. The best is as you have a devotee doing the gardening. The best is as you have a devotee having a devotee plumber. Isn't it? The best. But that is not the prime necessity of our this thing. That is not the prime focus. When Varnashrama develops, you know, I know how long it's going to take. Okay.
Like you are telling, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and Haridas Thakur also, they didn't try to break the whatever regulations were there entering the temple. We see, but life of Prabhupada, he told that unless and until the temple management doesn't allow our devotees, foreign devotees to come inside, I will myself not take darshan. So how to understand
that
this?
Is his love for his disciples. When one disciple wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying that I will prove in the Indian court that we are Hindus so that we can get entry into Jagannath temple, then Prabhupada told, better you come to San Francisco and have darshan of Jagannath. You are so eager, then come there and have darshan of Jagannath. So it's not a Prabhupada's love for his devotees. He told that when my disciples are not alone, why I should go? So he's just kind of putting pressure on them, saying that, you know, they are also qualified, and to tell the entire world that, you know, they are very much qualified. They are many of the people, and their pandas, they respect them. It is not that they don't respect the foreign devotees. They respect them, but the tradition is tradition. Custom is custom. Isn't it? Maryada. Maryada is maryada. That has to be followed. Yes?
Means he's taken birth in a pious family, is a Brahmana on the Karma Kanda level, and also has taken to Krishna consciousness, has become Vaishnava.
Yes.
So then he has to like do both the follow for both the traditions.
A Brahmin, for his a grihastha Brahmin, a Brahmin has been given permission to do these sanskars, to maintain his life. Brahmin should not work. As soon as you join a job, you're a Shudra. Job means Shudra. And business means Vaishya. Administration means Kshatriya. Now, how will a Brahmin live his life? What is the means of his livelihood? The means of his livelihood is this. He studies the Vedas, he studies the Vedangas, he studies Alankar, he has known how to chant the mantras, and he is doing sadhana for those mantras. And his society requires sanskars, isn't it? Society requires some sanity. So that has to be done, because these sanskars are there. And that is how he conducts his life. So it is not that he has to do both. It is not. How will he live? How will he maintain his life if he is a grihastha? Tell me. How will he maintain his life? He has to do something. Shariretya etra apina prasidyeta karmana. Krishna says, body cannot be maintained. Even the body cannot be maintained if you don't do karma. So for the maintenance of the body, if he is born in a Brahmin family, the best thing he should take up this karma. See, there is a lot of difference between karma kanda and karma kanda philosophy. A person who has taken Vaishnava Diksha, if he is born in a Brahmin family, and he is doing, going and doing yajnas and getting graha pressure and all these things doing, what is wrong in that? That is his income, that is his profession. Okay. And you have a businessman who has taken Vaishnava Diksha, and he is doing his business, that is his profession. Like that, this person's profession is this. There was a thing, 10, 12 years back, there was one who is a Karmakandi Brahmin from UP. He does Karmakanda very nicely. Somehow, very much he got attracted to Krishna consciousness, and he took initiation. After that, somebody told him, it seems, that you should not do all these things. You should not do all these things. Then, after 5 years, I met him, and I told, what are you doing? He says, somebody told me I should not do all these things, all Karmakanda. So, I joined a job. Just see. He's on his job. Isn't it? So just imagine what kind of guidance we give to people. Here it is said, by taking Uttama Bhakti, even a Swapacha becomes qualified to do sacrifice. By taking initiation, they put him down. By his stupid advice, Brahmin made him to Shudra. Yes.
Most of the time, it's our Brahmachari ashram. Grahasthas are so called for the Brahmachari, and they want to do the Graha Sanskara, Graha Pravesha by hands of Brahmachari.
We just go and do Kirtan and come back. See, that is a big problem in our congregation. They don't know. Graha Pravesha is different from getting some kirtan done. Isn't it? Graha Pravesha is different. Then why don't you get their daughter married in the daughter's marriage? Call all the brahmacharis and sannyasis. They will do kirtan. No havan. Why? Don't call Brahmins. Do all the ceremonies required. And you know, we are devotees, Prabhu. We just do kirtan. Kirtan is everything. Kirtan is a yuga dharma. Harinam sankirtan is yajna. Yuga dai yajna. Is japa yajna, isn't it? So, good. That is true. Without the holy name, no yajna is complete. But don't just consider that to do some material activity. Why you want to use the holy name? You are using the holy name as a substitute for some material things. It is an offense to the holy name. To bring auspiciousness, you call devotees and do kirtan. That is a different thing. Okay? But Satkriya Sardipika has been given for those who are not completely taken up Uttama Bhakti. Those who are not taken up Uttama Bhakti completely, like Krishna in the 11th canto verses, as long as there are material attachments, one has to perform their prescribed duties. See, Uttama Bhakti means you are actually totally on the transcendental platform. Totally on the transcendental platform. There are anarthas, there may be desires, there may be sinful tendencies, all may be there. But you are doing Uttama Bhakti, which is beyond the modes of nature. You have defied the modes of nature. So if somebody who is not on the platform, then what is the means? The means is that karma mishra, bhakti yoga, and do the sanskars. That has to be done, isn't it? So even though when somebody calls me for some opening of shop or something like that, I clearly tell them, what are you doing? They say, Prabhuji, bas kirtan kar rahe. Then I told, I will not come. You do whatever your things are being done in your family, you are doing all these things. And after the end, we'll do kirtan, you call people, we'll give a lecture and come back. Our job is only that. Don't get into the job of a lower job. Our job is only transcendental. So let those Brahmins, who they may not be Christian, let them do their job, let us do our job. They should not think that we are now, we are a substitute for their job. We have a higher task to accomplish. We are not here for somebody's shop opening, somebody's house opening, and no. We don't want to. I generally recommend is, I tell them, you call the Brahmin. Of course, we have a temple pujari who is a Brahmin. Vigrahastha and Brahmin. Very good, he does. So I tell him, Prabhuji, why you come and do kirtan and lecture? I'm calling all my friends. I told you all do. We do it in the evening, but you have to get that thing done in the morning. I make it a rule. So whether that is effective or ineffective, but we are not for that job. And people should not have this Brahma, this confusion of mixing something material with spiritual. And think that, okay, it's happened. Grihapravesha is a material activity. All the 16 sanskars, they're all material activities. Chanting the holy names, worshipping the deity, it's all spiritual activity. So, these material activities have to be done by those people who are in that particular situation or those who are attached. So, if they think that this spiritual thing is a substitute for this, what is he doing? He is bringing the spiritual thing down to the material platform. Isn't it? That's a big disease currently going on. And what they say? Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna, and that is the only yajna for the age. All yajnas are ineffective. So that has been told, what in the sense that this Harinam Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma for pleasing Krishna. But Harinam Sankirtan is not the Yuga Dharma for entering your house. So don't substitute that. In that sense, it has to be understood. Okay, now prarabdha is becoming more and more clear. Now we discussed about this very famous verse from the Padma Purana. Aprarabdha phalam papam kutam pijam pulanmukam kramenevai praliyate Vishnu Bhakti Ratatmanam. Vishnu Bhakti Ratatmanam, one who is doing Vishnu Bhakti, what happens? Kramena. Kramena means gradually. Gradually what happens? The prarabdha or the papa, all the things they get gradually destroyed. How? First one, what is the first thing which is destroyed? Aprarabdha is the first thing which is destroyed. Another example is given that when you do an action, then there is a seed for further reaction. But if that action is performed on the platform of Uttama Bhakti, what happens with Krishna in between? What happens? That seed gets fried. roasted. If you put the roasted seed on a ground, will it grow? It will not grow. So that is another example you can explain. Want to speak of Uttama Bhakti, even Karma Mishra Bhakti, that also has the capacity to destroy the Prarabdha. The Prarabdha is destroyed even by the Karma Mishra Bhakti also. Want to speak of Uttama Bhakti? Okay. First, Aprarabdha is destroyed. That means at least you are not dumping in the bank more and more karmic reactions. Okay. Now, after that, next one, what is destroyed? Bijam. Bija means a desire. The subtle desire which are existing in our mind, in our consciousness, that is bija. Then before bija, what is there? Kuta. Kuta is actually your sanskars. So, Uttama Bhakti has such a potency within it that it can change the sanskars of a person. To give you an idea what is sanskar, it is like on a rewritable CD, something already is written. You put it in the computer and write something else on it. Isn't it? It rewrites. So, that is actually rewriting our sanskars. That is why we say, oh, what happened to you? People are surprised when somebody takes up devotional service, Uttama Bhakti. Even those who are outside congregation devotees, they take it seriously. Their parents or their relatives, their friends, pura change ho gaya. They'll say, isn't it? Kya tha, kya ho gaya, people say. So practically their sanskars have changed because of this thing. Of course, it requires a very high level of practice of Uttama Bhakti. And now the last thing which is changed is what? Prarabdha. Now, to what extent the prarabdhas are changing? At the level of sadhana, the prarabdhas are only up to you getting the respect, that person getting the respect of a Brahmin. Because in the material field, the Brahmin is respected the highest. Now, even the person born in low-class family, by accepting devotional service, he is respected as good as a Brahmin. Not that he becomes qualified to start doing the yajnas and all these things. So, in this way, a very clear-cut understanding is given in this particular sense. Oh, that's an interesting question. Kalo Shudra Sambhavaha. Are there any Brahmanas? Kalo Shudra Sambhavaha. What is the meaning of it? Though Kalo Shudra Sambhavaha, the Varnashrama system established by Krishna. What is that verse? Chaturvarnyam Maya system. Who established it? Krishna has established, isn't it? Now, there is a degradation in that. It is not, it is destroyed. It is not there at all. Isn't it? A person who is born in a Brahmin family also, he requires another sanskar to do Brahminical activities. So, the degradation has happened. For example, you have these days, you get fruits, isn't it? They're all degraded now because of chemicals and all these things. You have banana and you have grapes. Both are degraded. Now, just because both are degraded, you cannot call banana a grape. A grape as a banana, isn't it? So, degradation is definitely there. Degradation is definitely there. And especially even those who are from pious families, small towns, though degradation is there, you can still find the tendencies are there. If somebody is born as a Kshatriya, in a Kshatriya family, the tendencies are there to karenge, o karenge, am karke dikhayenge, like that, it will be there. It is there. You cannot just say, no, it is not there. It is there. Yes.
Please confirm my understanding. Shudra is one who is not trained. So there is no training program being offered.
Yes,
And perfect. As you rightly said, Prabhupada told that Nepalis, they are naturally having the Kshatriya tendency.
Yes.
They are Kshatriyas, Nepal, yes. Sikhs, Gurkhas.
Gurkhas, yes. They have.
Like that he was telling. True. Is that understanding?
True, true. Anyhow, this is all material. What has happened is, because of the material world, materialistic tendencies, so much importance has been given to, you know, these Varnashrama. But in the Vaishnava tradition, the importance is given to bhakti. And Varnashrama is just only one aspect of it for his living, livelihood. Varnashrama is not bhakti. Varnashrama is for livelihood. So that you can do bhakti properly. That's all. Don't interchange and mix with this and make it Varnashrama, Varnashrama. Prabhupada told, the last thing we told before leaving his planet is Varnashrama, and forget your chanting. And the Varnashrama, people are now thinking of taking a farm and putting everybody in the field. And Varnashrama just doesn't mean going to the farm and, you know, take a bullock cart and go around. It doesn't mean that, isn't it? Just imagine, you know, a village. Everybody has their duties to perform. Everybody used to do their duties. And everybody used to not bother who is doing what. For their livelihood, they used to do their own things. And when it comes to temple activities, everybody would take part. When everybody would take part, according to their tendencies, the Brahmin would do the puja, somebody would do something, the cook would do cook. Nobody used to break their head so much like we are breaking our head in ISKCON so much. It is very simple. Whatever is suitable for your livelihood, do that. So you make somebody who is born in some family, and then you bring him a Brahmin initiation and send him to a farm and ask him to do puja there. And somebody who is born in a high class family, because you don't have the Brahmin initiation, go and drive the bullock cart. It doesn't work like that. Don't get confused with the entire thing. As our tendencies according to Varna and Ashrama, that should be there. There is no proper training. Even Shudra requires training. Do you think Shudra is a low class thing? No. Like you have IIT. Whether somebody is in first year or fourth year, you both are in IIT only, na? He's in IIT, whether he is first year or fourth year. So he is actually in a Sanatan Dharma. He is practicing Sanatan Dharma, by which he gets the platform where he can perform Uttama Bhakti very nicely. That's all. Yes.
Prabhupada told that like 50% of my task is still remaining, and that is like setting up Varnashram Dharma. So, what did he mean by that he couldn't do it?
50% means not exactly 50%. One task is left over. You see, Prabhupada first, he concentrated on distributing books and Harinam Sankirtan. Isn't it? That is called Sankirtan. Distributing books. So, when you distribute books, what happens? And do Harinam Sankirtan, people get attracted. And they join the temple, and some may join the temple, some may be outside practicing Krishna consciousness. Okay. Now then, that means they are now come to the position of getting initiation, diksha. Now the Pancharatra comes into picture. First Bhagavata, Bhagavat Vidhi. That is the Harinam Sankirtan, distributing books is what? Bhagavata. Bhagavata. And then when they get initiated, they become what? They take a Pancharatrik Vidhi. Now when they start initiation, doing chanting and all these things. Now, when the group becomes big, they want to get together at one place. Then the temple construction movement started. During Prabhupada's time, tell me how many temples were there? Hardly any. Hardly any, isn't it? He had temples practically anywhere. Even in Mayapur temple, when it was built, exactly on top of the deities, you have bathroom. He did not bother about all these things. People should come and chant. That was the main thing. At that time, temple construction was not the main thing. Prabhupada did not want to have a temple in Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is a place of bhajan. Later on, he thought, if I don't build, these Westerners will not come. So he built. He built a temple there. So Mayapur, of course, he had a dream of the spiritual city and all these things. For Vrindavan, it was not there. And he built it because he had to. So then the third thing which started was what? the temple construction movement, establishing temples everywhere, because the number of people became big. Like in Pune, you had a small temple, people coming. When people became big, then you require temple, isn't it? So temple construction was not the goal when, what, 15, 20 years back. What was the goal? To make devotees. And to maintain them, you require temple. Now, we have temples. Now, how will you support a temple, tell me? Going around collecting money? How long? You need to have a farm, you need to have a base of people who are supporting the temple, isn't it? They are the Vaishyas. You require somebody who protects the temple. You require Kshatriyas. You require who teaches people how to conduct their life, not just puja. As soon as you think of a Brahmin, you think of, you know, just doing. This is only one part of puja. Ijja is of only 1/5. There are so many other things. When that is how it has become. Brahmin doesn't mean who just does, you know, just the puja. No, there is so much other role for him. So you require somebody, you know, who can clean the place, who can do all this place. So that is varnashrama. That will automatically come, but it will take long time. It will take long time. See, whether you establish or don't establish varnashrama, varnashrama is already there. In Russia, there is no varnashrama. When Prabhupada was asked by that one, Katowski, every time he speaks something, asks something, Prabhupada used to answer and defeat him. Then immediately he used to change another subject. He used to come to another subject. When he was, Prabhupada was asked about, oh, you have caste system, then Prabhupada told, you have intelligent people in your country? He told, yes. You have administrator? Yes. You have business people? Yes. You have working class? Yes. Then you also have caste system. But, what is the problem is, the qualities which are required for doing the intellectual work of a Brahmin, the qualities which are required for a Kshatriya, the qualities which are required for a Shudra, for a Vaishya are not there. Of course, Shudras, we don't expect much qualities. So, that is what Prabhupada wanted. When you say, I want to establish means, he wanted not that you buy 500 acres of land and puts few devotees there. That is only some beginning of it. But actually, he wanted the entire society. Entire Pune, right, entire Mirror Road, whichever way the temple is. They should fall in the category of Varnashrama. Like in Australia, you have 400 acres of land. They are trying to pump in new devotees and try to establish Varnashrama. What about the whole city, whole Melbourne? Varnashrama means a society. It is not that within some society, you create society and put somebody from outside to inside. Not like that. The whole society you make into Varnashrama. Gradually it happens. It doesn't take. It doesn't happen immediately. Like you have 1,000-year-old Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. They have some Varnashrama. They have. Brahmins do their job. They are some Kshatriyas. They do that thing. They do. If you go to village, you will find that. So, there are two ways of doing that. One is you yourself create a village. Other way is you go and preach in the village. You preach in the town. Naturally, they will all take up that particular positions. So, this is what is Varnashrama. Anyhow, without Krishna, I should not say, it is only Vanarashrama. So much of Varnashrama is going on. It is Vanara, monkey, Shrama. The hard work of a monkey. Isn't it? So this is the fourth thing. It will come over a period of time. It doesn't take, it will take 50, 100, 200, 500 years. At that time, you can find that people, and for that, basically you need to have the economy based on land and cows, isn't it? How can you be a software engineer and say I want to do varnashrama? Because the whole material energy is totally come down to the level of passion and ignorance, isn't it? Whole material energy is now in a different dynamics altogether. And trying to establish varnashrama is like trying to like fight with the entire economy of the country. Isn't it? How is it possible? Though people in the olden days where varnashrama was very much prevalent, everybody knew wealth is land and cows. Though they may be doing different things, the economy was based on land and cows. Now the total economy is based on what? On stock market. That's what it is. So it is impossible to have varnashram dharma without, when the economy is based on stock market. It's impossible. You will try to create within that. You buy 500 acres of land and then try to establish varnashram artificially. You try to do that. When what will happen? Gradually, one by one will leave. And you try to put them forcefully, try to get the facility, electricity comes. Again, the economy is based on stock. You try to raise funds from a businessman in Bombay for your farm. Stock market, isn't it? So let it come as it is. So you don't have to really varnashrama and then have an illusory idea of what varnashrama. Prabhupada's idea of varnashrama was something totally different. Not to have a make a separate thing as a cult. The whole of the society, the whole of the place. You can even see naturally if you go and open a small center in the village, there you can find it automatically happening. Isn't it? You just go and do kirtan, the person, local MP or MLA or whoever it may be, or the mukhya or the whoever comes and says, "Theek hai, aapko kya chahiye, bataye, vyavastha karenge." He'll come and automatically say, "You are not preached to him, No preaching has been done to him." As soon as you go, I have personally seen one devotee went to a small town. Just, 10,000 people stay in that small. As soon as he went, they don't know his car, nothing. They want to do some opening temple. The person said, "What you want, tell me, I'll get it arranged." He arranged the meeting. He's a Kshatriya, isn't it? And a few businessmen came to me, "Maa ke naam pe karna chahta ho, karna." Over. That is varnashrama, isn't it? Now, after so many years of preaching to our congregation, how much varnashrama you have done, tell me, Ipuna? How much varnashrama I could do in this thing? You had to go and tell the congregation what is happening, what you need to do. They, without preaching, they have done. That is what Prabhupada wanted. Isn't it? That is called varnashrama. Oh, naturally, they know it is my duty. There is a quality is there in a Kshatriya. He knows that I may extract money from somebody else by illegal means, but these people I should help. That is what a Kshatriya thinks. A Vaishya, he knows he's squeezing money from people. But temple, I need to do something on my father's name, mother's name to the temple. His Vaishya is thinking like that. I still remember there was one lady who sells sabjis in our village. They called me to do the jirnodhara of a temple which was built by our ancestors 3-4 generations, because they had built a Ram temple. Somebody they got it. Now when I went there, then I just asked, Iskan mind na, I asked, how are you raising funds for this and all these things? They were looking at me like as if, I have some strange creature has come. Some strange creature has come. Something which was established 300-400 years back. The system was so established, even though the temple was not functioning for the past 100 years, the slang was it was in dungeons. Ram deity, who knows, nobody knows when it ran. And when they re-established this thing, their family traditions, whoever were established in them, they all came and did their work. Not even a single paisa was, nobody went to collect money. The Sabjiwalas came, Sabji gave Sabji, that Anajwala gave Anaj, that whoever the, whatever, the person who was there, very old person, he told his son who was in US, you know, it is our responsibility, his great grandmother told that we should take care of the temple, he sent some money, automatic. So Varnashram means, and automatically everything happens. Just imagine, automatically every material activity happens. You are so free to chant. That is Varnashrama. So, that comes by training, like he has told. When somebody is already Kshatriya mentality, when he is trained in that, he automatically does that. He automatically does. He doesn't have to be told to do. You don't have to go and say, no, please come and do this thing. No, not required. That is called Varnashrama. Yes. Why are you getting to Varnashrama now? I don't know why. You are talking Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and talking Varnashrama. But the whole thing is our Prarabdhas and Aprarabdhas are so much, so strong. The Brahmin came, na? Yes, yeah.
Because now in our society, like it's this. Tendencies are inherent in everyone, Kshatriya or
yes,
this.
Yes, yes, yes.
So now those who are joining in society as a brahmacharis, ideally they are supposed to be means brahmanas kind of thing.
Who told?
No, I'm just telling that.
You are telling.
Like that in brahmacharis also, Kshatriya mentality, brahmachari and Vaishya mentality,
wrong?
Brahmachari.
What is wrong?
So they have to be engaged in their way, Brahma, yes. As a brahmachari.
Yes. Don't have any misconceptions. You will act according to your nature. You will act according to nature. There is nothing wrong in that. What is wrong? Suppose, for example, somebody has joined as a brahmachari and he has good ideas how to run the Govinda restaurants. What is the problem? Tell me. What is the problem? Instead of hiring somebody, if a brahmachari can do that, well and good, isn't it? No, Prabhu, you are a brahmachari, you should not do that. Why? Who told? It is the duty of brahmachari. Brahmachari is also material. It is not anything spiritual in that. Sannyasi is also material. There is only one thing spiritual, chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavatam. Okay? Okay, chanting Hare Krishna and reading Bhagavatam. So, you are whatever tendency is there, you are engaging in Krishna service. What is the response to Brahmachari? Brahmachari, Gurukule Vasan, Kanto, Guru or Hitam. That's all. When a Grahastha does business, a Vaishya tendency person, Grahastha does business, he does not do everything for Guru or Hitam. He keeps something for his family and something he does it for. But a Brahmachari, he is supposed to do everything for Guru or Hitam. He will not take a single paisa for himself. So a person who has got a very good Vaishya tendencies, he does distribute books like anything. He will say, somebody says, ek book liya, why don't you take no three? No. Somebody with a Brahminical tendency, what will he do? He will give one book. He says, paisa nahi hai, kya karega? Ab to leke jao, baad mein de dena. He will tell like that. Lekin padhna zarur. मुझे फोन करना क्या पढ़ा अच्छा लगा आपको बोथ में डिस्ट्रीब्यूट बुक्स बट यू नो द डिफरेंस एंड लेटर ऑन द संकीर्तन लीडर आस्क्ड फॉर द हिसाब किताब भाई क्या करे बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन बोला ना प्रॉपर टोल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन मनी एंड ऑल इज देयर सेकेंडरी व्हाट ही कैन डू दैट इज व्हाट ही कैन डू डोंट एक्सपेक्ट anything. So, we are in the Brahmachari ashram, somebody is in the Grahastha ashram, somebody is in the Vanaprastha ashram, somebody is in Sannyasa. So, following the dharma of that particular ashram is what is required. Okay. Last question, I need to go further.
Yoji, we are hearing, like we heard about a devotee recently who was a very amazing scholar who used to be in ISKCON. And he told that it is not good on the level of Srila Prabhupada. What he did is he gave initiation Brahman Diksha to devotees who are not born in the Brahman family. On the other hand, we also see
my friend only Radha Krishna Das.
On the other hand, we see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he told that Vaishnavas are better than Brahmanas. So, my question is...
I understood. I'll tell him. I know everything about him. He says that they should not be given sannyas. Okay? He has his logic for that. And he has his shastric proof for that. You know, he's not just speaking in the air. Okay? Now, I'm trying to explain to him. Somehow, you know, he's half convinced, half not convinced. Practically every week I speak to him. Don't record it. Don't give it his current authorities. you see, what he's speaking is truth. But there is a provision in the scriptures itself. An acharya has the power to change the smriti. An acharya has the power to change the smriti. For the emergency circumstances, for certain purposes, sannyasi should not even involve in getting a person married. Prabhupada in front of a huge crowd in Pandal, 10,000 people in the Pandal, he is doing usaha and getting the people married. Now tell me, is it not against the smriti? Sannyasi should not go cross the ocean. It's against the smriti. In Madhva, it's a strict rule. One sannyasi went, they had a big agitation they did. He cannot worship Udupi Krishna, he cannot worship the deity. Okay? So then he told, let anybody say anything, I'll do. Because his argument was, many Madhva community people have gone to the West. Now, who will take care of them? Who will preach to them? So I went. They say, no, it's the Spriti says this. The Spriti said, Spriti says. True, it's true, Spriti says, you should not cross the ocean. But your people have already crossed the ocean, so you have to bring them back. What will you do? For that, I went. Not that I just crossed the ocean for going from sightseeing or something like that. So, for that particular purpose, because it was an emergency, that is what Prabhupada had in his hands. So, he gave them sannyasa decision. So, why the smritis say the charitra of a person should be pure when he accepts some sannyasa or something like that? It is that, as I've told, passion and ignorance, they're very dangerous. When somebody takes up uttama bhakti, they don't act at all. They may have tendencies, but uttama bhakti is so powerful that he is transcendental. But by chance, if he commits an offense, what will happen? To such an extent that publicly he will display mode of passion ignorance. Somebody is in goodness, even though he has committed offense, even if he comes down, he'll act on the platform of goodness. So that the integrity of the ashrama is maintained. Isn't it? So you have to see both the things. So sometimes what Prabhupada has done is not a system. Many times Prabhupada, what he established is not a system. Like at the time when it was an emergency, all sannyasis used to go and then sit in front of corporate buildings, business houses, Marwadi's offices. Giriraj Maharaj used to sit 6-7 hours in front of one office just to get an appointment. He's a sannyasi. But now do the sannyasis, we allow them to do that? As we have enough brahmacharis to do that, enough congregation, they'll appoint a meeting, he'll come and do. At that time it was necessity, that emergency. Isn't it? Sannyasis used to travel in bus. In our temple we have auto, the driver is there. He was transferred from Jew. He told me, Prabhuji, the way I am taking you to different places, you are collecting me for temple construction, I used to take Sridhar Maharaj like this, he told me. He told me, he was a sannyasi, na? Sannyas danda leke jaate the. Then, that is emergency. Now you don't allow this. Now the sannyasis don't have to do that. As the movement grows, we can practice the spriti more and more nicely. Like Prabhupada had an apartment as a temple in some place, and every temple should have a flag. From the window there was a flag coming out. From the window there's a flag coming out. But no, you have a big land here, you can do the color stuff and all these things you can do. Isn't it? So as the things develop, you can practice more and more things and try to explain to him. It is like, of course, he also has, whatever he speaks is from the scripture, it is for sure. He doesn't speak anything non-scriptural. But the major conflict which he's having is the smriti aspect of the scripture. The smriti aspect. An acharya has the power to do that, change it, according to time, place, circumstance. That flexibility is given to an acharya. So that he is not really willing to accept it. So you should know Prabhupada has the power to change the smriti. He will not change the siddhanta. The practical aspect of a code of conduct of life, a certain things. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave initiation to women, only few of them. Only few of them. But Prabhupada gave it to women. Prabhupada gave Gayatri to women. Isn't it? So, as the time progresses, we can follow the smriti as much as possible. Because it's emergency time. Prabhupada did it. It will continue. This thing will continue for maybe 50, 60, 100 years. I told him. After 200 years, you will find most of the smritis are followed in ISKCON properly. Isn't it? When you have a congregation and you just don't have to think of your Sunday collection for Sunday feast. I remember 17 years back when I joined ISKCON, just within 1 year after that, we had no money to run the Sunday feast program. Money was not there. So I used to go and then get some money, 5,000 from somebody, 2,000 from somebody, and get the thing. Now gradually, 15 years later, I don't even know who is cooking, where is money coming from. Because the congregation, they have understood, the businessmen, they have understood what to do, what not to do. And all these things happen. It takes time. Establish a sampradaya takes time. Okay. Yeah, we'll continue. Don't get too influenced by him. He is a very great scholar. He's my friend also. That scriptural thing has gone to such an extent to his mind, he is not able to get the acharya's power. He can do that. So, bijaharatvam. Bija means desires. How desires are destroyed by doing bhakti. So the verse is here. Raistanyagnipuyante tapodana vratadibihi na dharmagnyam tadhratayam tadhapsagnir sevaya apishagnir sevaya. So now what happens when somebody performs uttama bhakti is, but your prasadam is 8 o'clock, isn't it? I was told that when I asked at 8:30, somebody told still, you know, prasadam people are taking. I don't know. Achacha, there's a two-time malaka now. Achacha, it's like that. Achacha. 8:30 I asked, you know, when are you going to start? When devotees, told people, devotees are still taking prasadam. Then immediately higher up people to take prasadam. So much of Jataragni is there, you know, to destroy the Kleshagni. Anyway, okay, when we'll meet again? 11:30. 11 o'clock, 11 to 1, and another we'll have. Try to finish this and the beginning part of sadhana bhakti, definition of sadhana I want to do and then go. Otherwise it will be like too much of theory. Okay, we'll meet. So Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah, good, some concepts are clear.